of the text of our message this evening. We'll read again 2 Philippians, Philippians chapter 2, verse 16. I will read verse 16. Holding for the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And another verse in Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. And finally, 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. These three verses, I would like to restate 3 points. Holding forth the word of life. Second, holding fast the faithful word. And three, handing it down to faithful men. It is indeed a great pleasure for me to receive you, particularly from Calvary Tengah, so kindly to come and give this musical recital. And for all our brethren from the BP churches and friends to come here to support this evening in commemoration of the 50 years, good years that God has given to us. Indeed, it is by the grace of God, as we say, Ebenezer, hitherto the Lord has helped us, that we are able to carry on, and it is with deep thanksgiving to God that we stand here to sing praises to Him, for He has sustained us all these days. Holding forth the word of life is the watchword of Life Church, chosen from the very beginning, and in the inaugural message that was preached at Prinsep Street to 120 of the new generation gathered together, because at that time we were all worshipping in Teochew. But after the war, there was a new generation of the English educated arising. So the Mother Church asked me if I would be the pastor of the new English service. Well, as I had no place to go, that must be the Lord's appointment. So I accepted the post of pastor of a Life Church English service. How did I know that I would remain here for the next 50 years? We cannot see our future, but it is all determined for us. And so I chose this very verse, holding forth the word of life. And I still remember the words I had spoken. So I'll repeat to you the gist of the message that I preached that Sunday afternoon at 5:30, 20th of October, 1950. Holding forth the word of life is holding forth the written word, which is the Bible, to preach to the congregation, only the Bible, and to preach what and to preach whom? The living word, that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ go hand in hand. The Bible reveals to us, it is only the Bible that reveals to us our Lord and Savior and what He has done for us, and the Word of God in the Lord Jesus Christ is called the living Word, the written Word and the living Word. And both of these, when we preach, it becomes the power of God. When the Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And from here, we learn about the formula of power for church growth. So I hope that whatever we observe, as from the beginning and as we go along during these 50 years, we may learn some lessons from history, the formula for power, for church growth, is to present the Word of God so that we may know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that Jesus saves. Jesus saves is the most powerful sentence in the world in just two words. Can you compose a sentence more powerful than Jesus saves? Lately, the Lord has given me the grace to manufacture Jesus saves clocks. And suddenly they realize that this is preaching Jesus, the salvation, the Savior of each one of us, every second. And when I presented one of the Jesus Saves clocks to the young daughter of one pastor going to the United States to study, she phoned up to tell me, Pastor, there is no greater gift than this Jesus Saves clock, because every time I look at it, I feel encouraged. I feel saved. I feel that He is always with me. Is there anyone coming here tonight who needs Jesus Saves? I hope that this formula of power for church growth, for the saving of souls, may also be applied to you. Because without Jesus Christ, our life is vain. Without Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are lost like a person blind, groping in the dark. And how sad it is. But when we receive the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we become a new person. We can see. We can enjoy all the good things that are around us, which a blind person cannot. And so to illustrate and to testify from the 50 years of history, I would like to tell you how we struggled to build up the church from a membership of 30 adults and 20 children, the core of the new Life Church English Service. It took us 12 years to reach a membership of 250. By which time, 1962, when they came here, we built this beautiful place, this beautiful church. And then from there, the Lord helped us when the congregation had risen to 600 in 1979, we were led to build the new Life Church in Woodlands. And then when it came to the year 1989, when our membership was 1,200, The Lord help us to buy over the eye clinic opposite for 7 million roughly. And then right now our membership is 1,650. This millennium year, the beginning of the millennium, the Lord has given us a mandate to build a new Bueller House or Bueller Tower to show you that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The Lord created the world out of nothing. Every church of Jesus Christ is created from nothing. And when you preach the name of Jesus, and you preach the infallible, inerrant word of God, which is the best translation and the most accurate in the King James Version, you see many souls saved. But in the beginning, it was a very hard-going business. I remember when I was beginning as a pastor, I was riding on a BSA racer. I like to race in my young days on the bicycle. And it was rough going. But the Lord raised up a center in Hooper Road because we did not have much space in another church, only the Sunday afternoon, that's all. So we had a morning Bible study at Hooper Road, the center of the young people, especially of the Heng Mui Kia family, and now we have got Dr. Andrew Heng and Reverend Philip Heng and their brothers and sisters. And from there, it spread to the Sia family. And I was very glad when it was in 1955, 5 years after I was a pastor, the Lord saved our brother, Elder William Sia here. And he became a firebrand for the Lord, burning with zeal. And I remember how many young souls he brought into the kingdom. The formula of power for the growth of the church is simply to declare Jesus Christ our Savior. And so I like to encourage Tinga Church as they are laboring for Him and they have done so marvelously during these few years, is simply to stick to the gospel message, and whether they like it or not, souls will be saved, and thus the church grows. The second point about preaching the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is don't be confined to the four walls of a church, but always be outgoing, because Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And if they are willing to go out, as I tell all my FBC students, if they are willing to go out, they will find a place of service that the Lord will prepare for them in God's kingdom. But there are those who are waiting to be the next Life Church pastor. It's a very big church and very nice. You'll never get it, because I'm still here and I won't refuse to die. Well, just humorously, and I'd like to tell you a short story of how going out into missions, and the latest of our missions is to go to the East Coast, to Terengganu, to Kamaman. And from there, in the course of about 2 or 3 years, a couple, Dr. and Mrs. Wee, he is a very well-known doctor in Kamaman, and the wife is a head nurse in the hospital. And they both believe, they become leaders of the church, and though we have no pastor, they are the leaders and caretakers of a church. And because the young people there got saved, now we have a good congregation, about 30 to 40 every Sunday. And in the course, we bought over Kuantan, and there's a kindergarten, and from Kuantan, we advanced to Mersing, which today has completed a resort that can take in 150 people, that we just paid about 2.7 million to develop this. Going out in the missions, the Lord opens the doors. The first point is a holding forth the word of life. The second point is holding fast the faithful word, Titus 1:9, that as he has been taught, the bishop has been taught, that he may defend the right doctrines against all those who try to spoil. And I thank God that it was in America that I heard Dr. Carl McIntyre. He is a modern day Luther. Now to reform the church that came from the 16th century Reformation, but now has gone back to Rome. And as they are trying in the ecumenical movement to promote the one world church, Roman Catholics and Protestants together. And after 50 years, this is happening fast. Well, he was calling for young men to give their lives to the 20th century Reformation. And I heard the words and was strangely warm in my heart. And I said, I'm going to be part of that movement. Because of that, we have taken a separate stand ever since 1950. But for five years, we were in the old synod and we were entangled with modernism and liberalism and ecumenism. So in 1955, we broke out and we formed the Bible Presbyterian Church. And so the Lord has multiplied us wonderfully, that we know that in Singapore alone we have at least 60 BP congregations registered, 37 or 8 churches I believe, but each church has its own branches in other languages. Like Life Church here, we have Chinese, apart from English, as well as Indonesian and Thai, Filipino and Burmese. The Lord has blessed mightily this separatist stand. But in 1988, our whole synod came to an impasse and finally we split. So that today about one third are against our separatist stand and two thirds are standing together, particularly Life and Calvary churches together. So in this respect, I would like to remind you how it is important to stand for the faith and to remain faithful in the 20th century Reformation movement. That is my second point. And the third is handing it down to faithful men. Handing the word of God down to faithful men according to the instruction of the Apostle Paul to Timothy. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to lead, to teach others also. A very important principle. When Jesus Christ was on earth, he established a church by his preaching, but he also gathered a Bible school of 12 apostles and trained them. And when he ascended to heaven, the apostles went out far and wide into the world and established many churches. And that is the real church growth. The Lord gave us a vision as early as 1954. That unless we establish a Bible college ourselves, I will be just one. And after preaching 50 years, without training others, then it will be finished. But the vision was very clear. And so by 1962, after this church was completed, as well as a college, we founded the Father and Son Bible College, that we may commit the things that we have been taught by the Apostle Paul to Timothy and Timothy now to others. And by the grace of God, he gave us 3 students. And we had two teachers, myself and Dr. Peter Ng. But at the end of the year, the current of opposition against us so great in Singapore, because they heard that we are going to give a degree when other colleges, well, had not done so. So you are very proud and considered going to give a degree. But we had the capacity to do it. So by the end of the year, from 3 students, it became 1. And my colleague from another denomination told the remaining student, when the boat is sinking, all the rats will jump out. You be the last one, quickly jump out. But thank God, the Lord has a higher hand. And he said to that person, you stay. Then the second year came, 3 students who today have achieved greatly. One is James Chandler Singh, now pastor of Jurong. The other is Peggy Yeo of Zion Church, who got a doctor's degree from Oxford. And the third one was Jeanette Packer, wife of an Australian diplomat. And when Mrs. Packer joined our college to have an Ang Mo come in to be taught by Chinese, our pangkat at once rose up. And praise the Lord, he exalted us. Today, after 38 years, we have at least 350 who have graduated. Our enrollment is 108. And we have ordained 65 BP ministers. These are the ones who establish branch churches and they go out and become missionaries, handing it down to faithful men, the Word of God. In this respect, I want to encourage young people of Tenga, as we have quite a few from Life Church itself, with tertiary education. And these who are more highly qualified are at once snapped up by the churches around. They have all been given positions. I do not mean that you must have a degree to come in, but just to give an illustration that there are those highly educated who are willing to come in for training, and the Lord uses them greatly. I want to thank you for supporting our college, and I would like to ask you constantly to pray for us, but not only that you send your own young people, that when they graduate, they will become a great asset to your church. And so I pray that this is a formula for church growth. It's a hold for the Word of God, the Word of life, to hold fast the faithful Word, and to hand it down to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And if the Lord will give you strength, you can start a Bible college. The more the merrier. And we thank God that he has blessed the BB movement. Remain faithful to the original stand. But I'm sorry for those who separated from us because they like to compromise with the middle of the roaders, and because they use the NIV, which is a corrupt Bible, and God bless them. If you are attending a church that uses the NIV, you should tell the pastor not to use it. If they won't change, you better come out and join Tengah Church. You use a KJV, alright? May the Lord bless you.